clear around the room and in the foyer. Last week I put out flyers and made my website live. She wrinkles her nose.
And you know the rest.
I mistakenly thought I did. Do you have any experience running a business?
No, I just figured I'd learn what I didn't know along the way. But don't worry, I learned my lesson. I'm out a lot of money, and now I know my business is a pipe dream that I should probably let go.
You're giving up? She shrugs one shoulder.
I don't want to. Proposal planning is all I've dreamed about for as long as I can remember, but look at the mess I've already made.
Can't you ask anyone for help or take a few classes on business management?
You don't want to know how poorly I did in school. I'm a smart girl, but I can't learn that way. Ruby would help if I let her, but she and her husband are trying to get pregnant, and she likes things done her way. It's best if I just let it go.
Shit. The last thing I need is a complication like this whirlwind of a woman in my life, but I'm not an asshole. I can't just walk away and let her give up on her dreams, especially when teaching is what I do. I'll help you. She cocks her head with curiosity.
What do you mean?
I'll help you get started and make sure you don't get yourself into any more trouble. I double majored in business and sociology, and I've helped a few friends get their businesses off the ground.
But you don't even believe in love, and it's a marriage proposal business.
I don't need to believe in love to make sure you're crossing your T's and dotting your I's, even if it's with little hearts.
How did you know I'd do that? Have you been spying on me?
I laugh. With a name like Destiny Amore, anything else wouldn't be right.
That's going to be my excuse from now on,
she exclaims.
If you were to help me, how much would you charge?
I don't want your money.
Ryan Fletch, are you insinuating that you want to be paid with sexual favors? Because I'm not that kind of girl.
My name is Ryan Fletcher, and I wasn't insinuating anything. I'm definitely not looking for sexual favors. Please don't take offense to this, but I'm not interested in you in that way.
Phew.
She sits back, exhaling with relief.
Thank goodness, because nothing about you matches my checklist.
Your checklist?
That's right. You know, the list of things I'm looking for in a guy. But you've got nothing to worry about. I'm not attracted to you at all. You're more grumpy Ken doll than can do G.I. Joe.
Ouch. I'm glad you cleared that up.
Of course. I wouldn't want any misunderstandings. What should I call you, by the way? I've been calling you Grumpy Gus, but you probably prefer Ryan or Fletch, like Ruby calls you.
Grumpy Gus, what the hell? Most of my friends call me Fletch.
Does that mean we're friends?
She looks like she just received a sought-after invitation, and she doesn't wait for an answer.
I don't have a lot of friends here yet, Fletch. I like that, and I'd truly appreciate your help. I'll walk Molly as often as you'd like to make up for everything that happened today, and please don't tell me no, because I don't take handouts.
I'm about to turn down her offer of walking Molly when another idea comes to mind. You don't need to pay me back, but if you're dead set on it, I've got a better idea. My family has been all over me about finding a girlfriend, and I'd really like to get them off my back. My brother is getting married at the end of June. Come to the wedding with me and pretend to be my date. That should be enough to shut them up for a while, unless it's too big of an imposition. Excitement shimmers in her eyes.
Are you kidding? I love weddings. That's what, 6 or 7 weeks away? That gives us plenty of time to get to know each other. You'll have to let me know when the wedding is so I don't make other plans, and what you're wearing so I can match, and
I hold up my hand, silencing her. We've got time to figure that out. Let's focus on getting your business up and running.
Okay, but even though I'm going to the wedding, I'm still walking Molly for you. She's my favorite four-legged client, and it looks like she and Clementine have become friends after all.
She motions to Molly, sleeping with the cat curled up beneath her chin. I shake my head. I will never understand females. She giggles.
We're not that complicated. But since you're helping me, I'll help you understand women better.
I push to my feet. No thanks.
Why not? Because you don't believe in love?
Because I'm not looking for a woman, so I don't need to understand them. She crosses her arms, studying me.
That's your real problem, and I'm going to fix it.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. I'll help you understand women, and then you'll want a relationship and be open to finding love, and I'll plan your proposal. You can thank me later, or not. I'm not expecting a thank you. I don't need one at all. Helping people get to their happily ever after is what I do.
I narrow my eyes in warning. Not with me, it's not.
We'll see,
she says smugly and far too cheerily. Don't get your hopes up, sunshine. How about we get started tomorrow, unless you have other plans?
I don't. That sounds great.
I'm playing basketball with some buddies in the park, but I can meet you for coffee at La Love afterward if you're free around 1.
Perfect. I'll be there.
Okay. Bring your business plan and any other relevant materials. She wrinkles her nose.
Business plan?
You don't have a business plan? An outline of goals and how you're going to get there?
I do, but it's not written down. It's super simple. I let people know about my business and I plan to succeed.
What have I gotten myself into? Chapter 5. Fletch. The sun beats down on my shoulders as I dribble the basketball Sunday afternoon, keeping my back to my older brother, Chuck. Jimmy also showed up, and he's on Chuck's team. I'm partnered with my buddy, Marshall Dutch. Marshall grew up in this area, and I met him a few years ago, shortly after he'd moved back, when we were both out for a morning run. Should I pick out my tux for your wedding? Chuck teases. I made the mistake of telling them about how my stalker took things up a notch yesterday, and they've had far too much fun teasing me about it. Maybe you and Jimmy can have a double wedding, Chuck adds. Right, Jim? Shut the fuck up, I snap. Fine, Chuck says. Did I tell you about the date I went on last night? Only 17 times. I fake left, then dribble down the court to the right and toss the ball to Marshall, who is standing by the basket. Jimmy hollers as Marshall jumps up to catch the ball, but Marshall doesn't miss a beat and shoots before his feet even hit the ground. The ball circles the rim, and we all hold our breath until it drops into the basket. Yes! Nice shot, dude. I high-five Marshall. Marshall has an edge to him. He's bearded and tatted from neck to fingers and ankles. He's lived a rougher life than the rest of us. His late wife, Annie, gave birth to a stillborn little girl. Soon after, Annie died by suicide, and he fell down a drug and alcohol-induced rabbit hole. He's been clean for several years, and a few years ago he founded Annie's Hope, an emotional wellness center to honor his late wife. That's how it's done, Marshall says cockily, even with those idiots trying to distract us. Hey, I'm bragging, not distracting, Chuck says with a laugh and rakes a hand through his thick brown hair. He and Jimmy inherited our mother's dark hair and brown eyes while I take after our father. As a small-town attorney, isn't there some kind of moral code about discretion? Marshall asks. Chuck smirks. I'm talking to you, not my clients, and I never tell you who I've been with. For all you know, it could be your sister. Marshall glares at him. Marsh, you and Fletch need some game with the ladies. You could take some pointers from my students. Jimmy says and passes the ball to Chuck. I intercept it, dribbling toward the basket with Chuck on my heels. You teach phys ed to elementary school kids. What are we going to learn? How to pass notes? I go for the shot, and Chuck knocks the ball out of my hands. Ass, I say, as Jimmy snags it and dribbles toward the basket, but Marshall is all over him. Seriously, though, Jimmy says, trying to get around Marshall. The other day, the fifth graders were playing volleyball. This one kid has got a big-time crush on a girl in his class. She was afraid of being hit by the ball, so he kept diving in front of her and batting the ball away from her. The little dude earned my respect. The kid's got a lot to learn, Chuck says. Good dates end with the girl's hand on the ball, not your own. Jimmy laughs and takes the shot, but Marshall jumps up just before it reaches the net, knocking it across the court. Chuck and I sprint for it, and just as I get my hands on it, Chuck knocks into me, and the ball flies off the court. Come on, man, I grit out. That was a dick move. It was an accident, Chuck claims, and we all give him shit, grabbing our water bottles as he retrieves the ball. A little while, and several points later, I'm dribbling down the court. The score is tied, and my brothers are being their mouthy selves. Jimmy hollers as I take a shot. We all watch the ball arc through the air. Go in, go in, go in. It swishes through the net. Marshall and I cheer and gloat as Jimmy and Chuck bitch and moan, and a cheery feminine voice with a southern drawl cuts through the air.
Woohoo! Nice shot, Fletch!
What the? I turn around and see Destiny, wearing pink overall shorts, a white t-shirt, and sneakers, which makes her look awfully young again and insanely cute. She's carrying an enormous yellow tote bag over her shoulder. Her hair is loose and a little messy, and she's grinning from ear to ear. Those enticingly plump lips send my mind sprinting back to that damn kiss. She waves.
Hey, Fletch. Hi, y'all.
She's ridiculously happy, but knowing all that she's been through gives me a new appreciation for that cheeriness. The guys say hi in unison, looking at me curiously. Is that your stage 5 clinger? Chuck says quietly as she saunters over. No, she's the proposal planner. And Molly's groomer.
The bow girl?
Jimmy asks.
Damn, man, Chuck says. Set me up.
I feel a niggle of jealousy and it pisses me off. I glower at him.
I didn't know you meant you were playing at this park,
Destiny says sweetly.
I got to the coffee shop early and I thought I'd take a walk before we met up. Imagine my surprise when I saw y'all playing.
She sets those expressive hazel eyes on me.
Look at you, all buff and jockish.
She looked at the others. You boys are good. Her gaze lingers on Marshall. I watch her admiring his tattoos, and her Ken doll slash G.I. Joe comment suddenly becomes crystal clear. That niggle of jealousy turns into a spear, and I grit my teeth against it.
This is the only park in town,
Marshall points out. Her brow furrows.
Really? That's a darn shame. Parks are so pretty. I think towns should have loads of them.
She holds out her hand.
I'm Destiny, by the way.
Marshall's jaw tightens.
Did you say Destiny?
Sure did. Why? Do I look like someone you know? Everyone says I look like someone they know.
No, it was my daughter's name, Marshall says. Damn it.
I'm about to cut in when Destiny touches Marshall's arm and says,
Was?
She's no longer with us.
Sadness washes over her features.
I am so sorry for your loss. I lost my daddy last year, and I know how crippling grief can be. But I'm sure your little angel is smiling down on you.
I notice her drawl thickening, and I have the urge to put my hand on her back and say something to ease that pain. The impulse takes me by surprise, and I try to squash it.
Thank you. I hope she is.
Marshall's voice is thick with emotion. To give Marshall a minute, I step in. Destiny, this is my older brother Chuck and my younger brother Jimmy.
Brothers? Isn't this fun? Which one of you is getting married? I cannot wait to go to the wedding.
Fuck. I guess we're doing this now.
The shock on my brothers' faces is inescapable, but their smirks quickly push it away, and I know they're about to give me shit.
You're coming to my wedding?
Jimmy asks.
And you have a coffee date with Rai-Rai that he failed to mention?
Chuck asks. His use of my childhood nickname grates on my nerves. Yes, she's coming to the wedding, and don't make a big thing of it, Jimmy. Please let Beth know Destiny will be my plus one.
Is she coming to the rehearsal dinner, too?
Jimmy asks in a way that tells me the answer will signify something bigger than just a plus one.
Mom will need to know for a head count.
I'm about to shut that shit down when Destiny gives me an I've got your back glance and says,
Of course I'm going to the rehearsal dinner. I wouldn't miss it. So y'all back off from trying to set him up with your lady friends. I'm sure it seems fast to you boys, but I've been Molly's groomer for 3 months, and I've had my eye on this handsome guy the whole time.
She puts her hand on his shoulder.
Even though we didn't know each other very well until... Well, that doesn't matter. When you found the one, you know it. Right, Jimmy?
Fuck.
She is laying it on too thick, but my brothers are eating it up. If I'm going to pull this off and get them off my back, I need to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, 100%. Jimmy looks at me, baffled.
You've been holding out on us, huh, bro? Marshall asks. He looks skeptical, smart man.
Hush, Marshall, or he'll get all up in his head again the way he does and scare himself into running away from this magical thing between us. We don't want that now, do we?
Chuck elbows me. Dude, she's got your number. On that note, we're out of here. I'll catch up with you guys later. I toss my empty water bottle in the trash can, put on my shirt, and take Destiny by the arm, leading her away from them.
Wait, I still have questions,
Jimmy calls after us. I flip him the bird.
Was that too much too soon?
Destiny asks, walking fast to try to keep up. You could say that. Chapter 6. Fletch. Destiny grabs a table near the back of La Love Cafe while I order coffee for me and sweet tea for her. As I carry our drinks to the table, I watch her tuck a pen behind her ear and withdraw a few colorful notebooks from that big yellow tote bag, stacking them on the table. Here you go. I set her tea on the table and sit across from her.
Thank you.
She takes a drink.
Mmm, so good.
She licks her lips, and the slide of her tongue stirs thoughts I have no business thinking about her.
I'm sorry for taking it too far with your brothers. I was just trying to do you proud.
It's okay. You sold it well. She sits up taller.
Thank you. They're really nice and handsome.
That pang of jealousy returns, and I hate myself for what comes out of my mouth next. You seemed pretty interested in Marshall.
He's a little tall for me, but he definitely checks a few of my boxes.
She has a height requirement.
He's rough around the edges, and I'm not going to lie. I find all that ink intriguing, and I bet a man like that is good with his hands.
Please, don't go there.
Why?
She tilts her head, perplexed.
You got something against a man who can fix an engine or build a shelf?
Now I feel like an ass. No, I thought you were talking about... I misunderstood. Never mind. I take a drink of coffee.
You thought... Oh...
She giggles.
Why would I talk about that with you?
I was wondering the same thing.
It is sad, though, about his baby. Is he married?
He was. His wife died by suicide several years ago. He runs Annie's Hope. It's named after her. She covers her heart with her hand, sadness rising in her eyes.
It's a wonder how that man's still standing.
Not wanting to get lost in that tragic topic, I say, let's get started. Are these your notes? I reach for the stack of colorful notebooks, wondering why she didn't pull out her laptop.
Yes, they are. I know you probably think I'm disorganized after yesterday, but I think you'll be impressed. Everything in them is color-coded.
I sift through the notebooks. The one on top is red with clients written across the front in loopy cursive. Inside, written in red ink, are the headers name, date, source, phone number, and outcome, booked/no-go, in parentheses. Beneath the headers, Cecilia's information is written in black with flyer listed under source, and booked with a line through it under outcome. Scribbled in red in the margin is crazy stalker, get proof of partner. I glance at Destiny.
That wasn't my finest moment.
She sips her tea. I look at the other notebooks. A blue one is labeled expenses, an orange one is labeled meetings, and a pink notebook is labeled Mr. Right Checklist in gold sparkly ink. Well, well, sunshine, what do we have here? It appears the coveted list really does exist.
Those are my questions for clients,
she says, as I open the notebook and scan the first few items on the list. Not too tall, big men, big egos. Has moves like Jagger. Neat feet. Rough around the edges. Can fix anything. Dark hair and eyes like milk chocolate. Puts love above all else. Isn't afraid to talk about his feelings. I turn the page and I'm shocked to see several more criteria listed. I lift my gaze from the notebook.
How exactly do you ask your clients if they have moves like Jagger, and what the hell are neat feet? Her eyes widen, and I see understanding of her mistake taking hold. She gasps and lunges across the table to grab the notebook, but I hold it out of reach, laughing. She's red-faced, eyes shooting daggers.
Ryan Fletcher, you give me that notebook right now, or I'll...
Try to get me to marry a stalker? I tease, because her feistiness is entertaining.
No, but I'll do something you won't like.
She struts over and snatches the notebook from my hand, immediately shoving it into her yellow bag.
I can't believe I made that mistake. I guess it is possible to love pink too much. I should have chosen a different color notebook for my business.
I didn't think you really had a checklist. She gives me a deadpan look.
Everyone has one, whether they write it down or not.
Not like that. You must have 60 things listed. How is any man supposed to live up to all that?
I know a man won't meet all my criteria, but I believe my soulmate is out there, and he'll meet most of them.
With a list like that, how do you even date? Do you pre-screen your guys, send them a questionnaire, interview their friends and family?
No. Do you pre-screen the women you go out with?
I shake my head and turn it back on her. Tell me something. If you go on a good date, do you come home and doodle your first name with the guy's last name to see how they look together? She lifts her chin.
Maybe I do, with stars in my eyes and hope in my heart. Mark my words, Rye Rye. I'll find my Mr. Right, and when I do, you'll be begging me to help you turn all that negative love energy around so you can find your match, too.
I've seen your matching skills. They cost me an hour in a police station and made me bother school administrators on a Saturday.
I didn't match you guys. Wackadoodle did.
I can't decide if she's as flighty as the wind or a determined dreamer, but one thing is for sure. There's something enticing about this spunky little Georgia peach, and I have a feeling I've only scratched the surface.
Destiny. Are you going to help me or just tease me all afternoon? A slow grin lifts his cheeks. I'm kind of enjoying teasing you. I try to give him a serious look, but I'm too amused by this lighter version of him to pull it off. You might want to be careful. Paybacks could come at awkward times, like rehearsal dinners or weddings.
All right, let's get down to business. Should we start with your man checklist? Because I could show you which items are unreasonable and knock 50 or so off of it.
I'm not happy that he saw my checklist, but it's hard to be mad at a guy who looks hella hot in basketball shorts and a tank top. His muscular thighs are one thing, but I never would have guessed he had sculpted abs under his dress shirts, or that he was capable of sharing a warmer smile like the one that's coming out to play right now. My checklist is none of your business.
You're right. I don't want any part of that.
He takes a drink of his coffee.
I checked out your website last night. It's well done, inviting and uplifting.
I'm glad you think so. I hired a friend back home to put it together for me, but I chose all the colors and pictures.
You did a good job, but I noticed your contact form only asks for a name, email address, and phone number. It might be helpful to ask for specifics, like the location and date for their anticipated proposal, so you can see if they're nearby and can check your calendar before you reach out.
I don't care if I have to drive 2 hours to meet them. It's not like I have people beating down my door right now.
But one day you hope to. You've got big dreams, sunshine. The best way to achieve them is to never doubt it'll happen and pave the path in a way that nothing will slow you down.
I was pretty sure he only offered to help me out of pity because I blubbered about losing my parents, but it doesn't feel like that now. The way he calls me sunshine feels so natural. It's like he really sees me, not just my screw-up, and genuinely wants to help me. It's been a long time since anyone other than Ruby worried about what I wanted. I never doubted myself until Cecilia showed me the errors of my ways.
We'll chalk that up to a learning experience and make sure it never happens again.
I still can't believe you don't hate me for it.
I'm a naysayer, not a jackass. I have to ask you something before we get down to business. Why are you using notebooks instead of your laptop or an iPad?
They're easier for me. I'm not very computer savvy. I used them in high school, but as a hairstylist, I never had use for one beyond the apps for showing clients how different hairstyles might look and a few other things. I haven't looked at an office program in, gosh, 9 years. That number hits me hard. Wow, I can't believe I've been out of high school that long. My mama would say I'm getting long in the tooth. He chuckled.
If that were true, it'd make me ancient.
Maybe you are. How old are you?
Several years older than you.
Come on, Rai Rai, you know my life story. His brows slant.
I'm going to kill my brothers.
And I'm going to figure out how old you are. I study him, taking in the tick in his jaw and his narrowing eyes. He clearly doesn't like to be scrutinized. Is that why he seems weirdly oblivious to the women who check him out? I've noticed a few eyeing him since we arrived, but his attention hasn't left me for a minute. I wonder if attention makes him uncomfortable. But he's a teacher, so it can't be that. He said he'd been married and divorced. Did that sour him toward women? Those thoughts won't help me figure out how old he is. You don't have crow's feet, so you're probably younger than 40.
40?
I said younger than 40. I'm still figuring you out. You've got wise eyes, but they're way too guarded for you to be younger than 30. My guess is that you're 35 or 36.
You're better at guessing than at due diligence. Can we focus now, please?
I got it right. Go me. I wiggle my shoulders. He doesn't even crack a smile.
Back to business. If you're going to succeed, you can't be bringing the wrong notebooks into client meetings, or losing them and not having backups. I'll bring you up to speed on documents and spreadsheets and whatever else you need, and we'll organize them with shortcuts, so each one is always at your fingertips.
That would be amazing. I like the idea of keeping records on my laptop, but having a screen between me and a client would feel impersonal. I promise to triple-check my notebooks before each meeting and record all my notes on my laptop, but I think I'll stick to my notebooks for in-person meetings.
Okay.
He pulls out his phone and starts thumbing something out on it.
I'm going to keep a list of what we need to accomplish, and then we'll prioritize and work our way through it.
Those light blue eyes find mine.
I assume you have liability insurance.
I wince.
Are you kidding?
He asks incredulously. I press my lips together and look around us, up at the ceiling, down at the floor, anywhere to avoid the look of disbelief in his eyes.
Destiny, this is serious. Protecting yourself has to be your number one priority so you don't lose everything you own. If I were anyone else, you could have gotten sued over what happened yesterday. I've got a buddy who sells insurance. I'll hook you up.
He thumbs out another note on his phone. I pull another notebook out of my bag and write, "Get insurance," in it. He glances at the three notebooks in front of him.
What's wrong with the other notebooks?
This one is for our meeting. I show him the front of it, on which I've written, "Suggestions from Grumpy Gus." The muscles in his jaw twitch again. Over the next hour, Fletch asks me dozens of questions, and he's all business. He really knows his stuff, and he's incredibly patient as I take detailed notes. I'm starting to see where Ruby was coming from about Fletch being more guarded than grumpy. He definitely has some hang-ups, but he's kind of cute when he takes charge. No wonder his student fell for him. I wonder if he's take charge in the bedroom, too. That toe-curling kiss comes back to me in delicious detail. If he can make me weak-kneed with an unexpected kiss, I can only imagine what he could do to me if he's intent on pleasure. My mind tiptoes in that direction, and I picture him shirtless, as he was on the basketball court, all those hard muscles and lickable abs on display. I imagine taking off his shorts. No, we are not having naked thoughts. I try hard to push those naughty thoughts away, but the image of him wearing only those shorts lingers.
Destiny,
he says sharply. Huh? What? Sorry, I was thinking of you almost naked. Thinking about what you said about prospective clients.
Which thing?
Shoot. It doesn't matter. I figured it out. Go ahead. Carry on. I'm listening.
I was just saying that you need rock-solid proof of relationships before you sign any contracts.
I scribble, "Get a contract," in my notebook, thankful for the distraction. He glances at my note with concern.
You don't have a contract?
Not really. It's more of a handshake deal.
Remember what I said about protecting yourself? Did you set up a business entity? An LLC?
I didn't think I needed to. He curses and messes with his phone again.
What's your phone number?
I rattle it off. Why?
I'm texting you the number of the insurance guy I mentioned earlier and my brother Chuck's number. He's a lawyer. He specializes in corporate law. I'll give him a call when we're done and set you up with him.
I can't help teasing him. Wow, you're setting me up with your brother? He's hot, and he seemed fun. Definitely more G.I. Joe than Kenny Boy. His jaw clenches.
Settle down, sunshine. He's not your type.
You only say that because no one is your type.
That doesn't even make sense.
You know it's true. I lower my voice. Several women have checked you out in here, and you won't even look at them. Nobody is that oblivious.
What? Who's checking me out?
He looks around.
You're making shit up.
Oh yeah? Then what's your type? Model perfect? All legs and boobs and flirty as the day is long? He grumbles something under his breath. What was your ex like? I bet she was beautiful.
I'm not having this conversation.
How am I going to find your match if I don't know your type?
You're not a matchmaker.
But I could be. And besides, I need to know those types of things if I'm going to fool your family into thinking we're really a couple. You need to loosen up for this conversation, and I know just how to make that happen. This calls for something sweet. I push to my feet. I'm going to get a cookie. What would you like? He shakes his head.
Nothing.
You can either tell me what you'd like or leave it up to me to surprise you.
There you go again, not listening to what I say.
I listened, but I don't believe you. Everyone loves sweets. I bet you're a scone guy, all hard around the edges, no mushy inside. I'm on it. I can feel his eyes burning a hole in my back as I head up to the counter. Hi, Destiny. Heaven, a curvy brunette, says. I was going to pop over to your table as soon as I got a break. I've got something for you. A guy was in here asking questions about your flyer earlier. He seemed really interested, but kind of shy, so I got his number and said I'd pass it on to you. She reaches below the counter and hands me a piece of paper. Really? I look at the paper, which has the name Arjun Patel and a phone number written on it. Arjun? Did I pronounce that right? Close. It's Arjun, and he's super nice. Thank you so much. This is awesome. You're the best. Girl, you know I'm talking you up every chance I get. Maybe karma will come back to me and you'll be planning a proposal for me one day. She leans across the counter with a mischievous spark in her eyes and lowers her voice. So, you and Fletch, huh? Oh, gosh, no. He's just helping me get my business organized. Mm-hmm, right. I see that smile. She winks and whispers, I'll keep it on the down low. What? I laugh. No down low. I'm just excited about a potential client. Fletch and I are really just friends. Well, kind of friends. Maybe more associates? It's a long story. But I made his life hell yesterday, and he's making sure I never make that mistake again. Whatever you say, but just so you know, half the women in this town would love to be sitting at a table with him right now. Not that he gives any of them the time of day, which only makes him mysterious and even more attractive. I glance over my shoulder at Fletch talking on his phone. Nope, no butterflies. But his pinched brows and far too serious face do make me smile. I turn back to Heaven. You seem mysterious. I see a tough nut to crack. Do you by chance know what his favorite treat is? I sure do. He goes mad for the lady locks. Isn't that ironic? What's a lady lock? You've never had one? They're one of my favorite cookies. They're shaped like cannoli, but the outside is made of a light, flaky pastry, and they're filled with sweet cream. Boy, was I off base about him with a scone. Great, I'll take two, please. While she gets the cookies, I look at Arjun's number and feel a rush of excitement. After paying, I bring our treats to the table and set one plate in front of Fletch. You were holding out on me. You do have a type. It's flaky on the outside, sweet and mushy on the inside. He looks perplexed.
How does my favorite cookie translate into what I want in a woman? If I wanted that, wouldn't I be with someone like you?
Are you calling me flaky? Well, maybe I am a little flaky, but guess who has a potential new client? I wave the paper and do a little happy dance.
Where do you get a new client?
Heaven hooked me up. I do another happy dance.
Then you'd better get your dancing butt into that chair so we can nail down these interview questions.
Now? You sure you have time? I don't want to take up your whole Sunday.
It's either this or I'll worry you'll get your notebooks mixed up and ask him about his feet.
I laugh.
Seriously, though, I don't mind helping. My only plans are to take Molly for a walk later.
Thank you. I lean down and hug him. I'll walk Molly, just like I said, every day for a month. 2 months. And don't tell me no, unless you don't want me in your house because you have something to hide.
What could I possibly be hiding?
That's what I'm wondering. Are you a secret Dexter? Do you have a freezer full of body parts? Or women chained up in your basement? Or a creepy doll collection? Aw, do you collect teddy bears? Now I have to know, and you're not going to change my mind. I'm walking Molly. She loves me, and I have the time, and you're being so helpful and nice, it's only right. He shakes his head, but a laugh falls from his lips.
Will you take good care of her?
Of course.
You won't let her get hurt or play too rough with other dogs?
I plant a hand on my hip. Of course not. He lets out a long breath.
Fine.
I squeal and hug him again, catching him off guard. As his arms circle me, he says,
I guess we're hugging again.
And I feel him tense up. I lean back, still holding on to him. Our eyes connect and hold, causing a flutter in my chest, like a hummingbird taking flight. My pulse quickens, and the din of the cafe is drowned out by something warm and enticing pulsing between us. That startles me out of the moment. Sorry, I'm a hugger. I plunk down in my seat, scrambling for something to say. I'll walk Molly every afternoon.
I'm sure she'll enjoy that.
His brows are knitted, but he says it so casually, I don't think he noticed my foray into crazy town.
But no pressure. If you get busy and can't make it, don't sweat it.
He grabs his phone.
I'll text you my address and leave a key under the mat, but don't go snooping around my house.
I can't make any promises, I tease. His eyes narrow. Fine, I won't snoop. I make a cross over my heart with my index finger.
Good. Now back to business. I spoke to Chuck while you were getting the cookies. You can call him when we're done. He said he'll fit you in any day this week if you'd like, even before or after work.
Really? That's amazing. I can't get over how much he's doing to help me. I'll call him as soon as we're done. I work until mid-morning tomorrow, but then I'm free for the rest of the day.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I was just thinking about how you barely know me and you're helping me so much. I truly appreciate all the time and guidance you've already given me. I jumped into this business with 2 feet, and I had no idea how many important steps I missed. I might not have realized it until I made even bigger mistakes than I did yesterday. I can't help thinking that maybe you and I were meant to meet. Fated.
Get your head out of the clouds, sunshine. We met because of my dog and a stalker. Nothing more, nothing less.
I don't know about that, naysayer. My friends have always come into my life for a reason. I think maybe I'm supposed to help you find your match, and you're supposed to keep me out of trouble. He looks at me like I've lost my mind. I pick up my cookie and take a bite. The flaky pastry and sweet cream melt on my tongue in a glorious combination of deliciousness. I point what's left of the lady lock at him and say, "Forget all that. My head was stuck in the clouds. You obviously came into my life to introduce me to the best darn cookie I've ever had." That earns a genuine smile. Chapter 7. Destiny. Monday morning, I'm bursting with hope and anticipation. I feel so much better prepared to run Get the Yes now. It's shocking how unprepared I was, but as Fletch suggested, I am chalking that up to a learning experience and looking forward to meeting with his brother Chuck later this morning. I want to make a good impression, so I wear a cute blue dress and sandals and tuck my sneakers into my bag with the treats I baked last night for Molly. Before heading to work, I leave a message for the insurance rep Fletch referred me to, and my nerves take over as I call Mr. Patel and leave him a message as well. Fletch warned me not to get my hopes up, but I've never been good at that, and I spend the morning anxiously awaiting Mr. Patel's call. I wish Ruby were working this morning. She would know what to say to calm me down. But she doesn't work until later today, so I channel my nervous energy into talking out my worries with the dogs I groom. By the time I finish at Perfect Paws and head out to Port Hudson to meet Chuck, I've checked my phone 24 times. There's still no word from Mr. Patel, and my hopes deflate a notch or two. Port Hudson is home to Boyer University. It's bigger than Harmony Point and much busier, with several restaurants and bars and interesting-looking shops along the main drag. Chuck works in a brick building not far from the center of town. As I climb out of my car and head across the parking lot, my phone dings with a text. I dig it out of my bag and see Fletch's name on the screen. Happiness bubbles up inside me. Fletch.
Hey, sunshine. How'd it go with Mr. Patel?
Destiny. I left a message before work, but he hasn't called back yet. Sad face emoji. Fletch.
Remember what I said about managing your expectations?
Destiny. Eye roll emoji. Fletch.
Are you sure you still want to walk Molly today?
Destiny. Yes, I'm looking forward to it. Fletch.
I think she is, too. She was pretty excited when I said you were coming over. I left a key under the mat. Keep it for next time. Her leash is hanging by the door. The backyard is fenced, but the front isn't. Please be careful with her. She might chase squirrels or other dogs, and she's strong. You need to show her you're the boss.
Destiny. Like you did at the park? Laughing, crying emoji. Fletch.
Grimacing emoji. Face palm emoji.
Fletch.
Just don't let her off leash. You've seen what she's capable of, and I don't want her or anyone else getting hurt.
Destiny. Do you have liability insurance just in case? A wise man told me it's important to protect yourself. I can give you the number of a guy who can help with that. Fletch.
Smirking face emoji.
Destiny. I know better than to let her off leash. I had a dog named Clifford when I was growing up, and he was 80 pounds of pure chaos.
Fletch. Was he red?
Destiny. Only when I dyed his fur and dressed up like Emily Elizabeth for Halloween.
Fletch. Laughing, crying emoji times 3.
Fletch.
How old were you? 6 or 7?
Destiny. 15. 3 dots dance on the screen, but they disappear. A jolt of disappointment rattles me, and I try not to overthink it as I walk across the parking lot toward the building. But when I glance at the screen again, the dots reappear, turning my disappointment into anticipation. I try not to overthink that either.
Fletch. Please don't dye Molly's fur.
Destiny, I see Grumpy Gus has returned. I've missed him. Fletch,
I'm serious. She could be allergic to dye.
His love for Molly touches me deeply, but it bothers me that he doesn't trust me to know better. Destiny, do you really think I'd do that without your permission? And here I thought we were developing some level of trust. Fletch,
do I need to remind you about the bows?
Shoot, he's got me there. Destiny, angel emoji. Fletch,
maybe this isn't such a good idea. Molly relies on me to keep her safe, and allergic reactions in dogs are no joke.
Destiny, careful, Gus. I might start thinking there's a warm heart behind all that bossiness. I promise, she's in good hands. Take a deep breath. Did you do it? Good. Now stop being a helicopter dad and go smarten up some young minds. I'm meeting your hottie pants brother in 5 minutes. Wish me luck. I silence my phone and put it in my tote as I head into the building. I make my way up to the reception area, and a few minutes later, Chuck's assistant walks me back to his office.
Destiny, it's nice to see you again.
Chuck pushes to his feet and walks around his desk. He's thicker than I remember, built like a football player, and he looks sharp in a white dress shirt and blue tie. His hair is darker than Fletch's, but every bit as thick. And while Fletch's smiles are rare, Chuck's is instantaneous, warm, and inviting. It's nice to see you too. I shake his hand. Thanks for taking the time to meet with me.
No problem.
He motions to a chair in front of his desk, and as I sit down, he lowers himself to the chair beside it like we're old friends.
My brother said he'd like to help you get things sorted out quickly.
He probably wants me to get out of his hair. As the words leave my lips, I remember that I'm supposed to be selling myself as Fletch's date for their brother's wedding and try to cover my tracks. I can be a handful. My daddy used to say I was his little hurricane, whirling through life like I didn't want to miss any of it. And Fletch, Ryan, I'm sorry, I don't know what you call him.
I usually call him a jackass,
he says with a laugh.
I'm kidding. I call him Ryan, but you can call him Fletch. Everyone else does, well, except our parents. And as far as being a handful goes, there's nothing wrong with a woman who keeps you on your toes, and Rye could use a little shaking up.
Well, here I am, shaking up his quiet life.
You must be striking all the right chords, because it's been a long time since he's let a woman get as close as you two seem to be.
I feel a pang of guilt about pretending to be something we're not after how much fun Fletch and I had yesterday. Or rather, how much fun I had. I can't speak for him, although he sure joked around a lot and it felt like we connected. I also feel an unexpected pinch of sadness that we're not easing into something more. That pinch bothers me because Fletch isn't even in the same realm as my Mr. Right. Pushing those confusing thoughts aside, I sit up a little taller and say, your brother's pretty special. He spent hours teaching me everything I need to know about business yesterday, which is why I'm here. I need to make my marriage proposal planning business official.
Then let's get started.
I'm still flying high when I pull up to Fletch's house to walk Molly later in the afternoon. I change from my sandals to my sneakers, and too excited to hold it in, I text Fletch. Destiny, Chuck is amazing. Thank you so much for setting me up with him. Destiny, he's filing all of the paperwork for Get the Yes LLC and writing up contracts that I can use too. He said he'll send them over later today. Destiny, we also went over the questions you and I came up with to make sure I don't ask anything I shouldn't. Don't worry, he said I'm not. Smiley face emoji. Destiny, he's going to review my website later tonight to make sure there's nothing on it that can get me into trouble. I can't believe how fast he's moving on this. Destiny, you Fletcher boys are really something. I look forward to getting to know him better at the wedding. I need to figure out a way to thank him. I slip my phone into my dress pocket, gather my goodies, and head up the walk. The lawn and single line of low squared off bushes along the front porch are well manicured, like Fletch. His cape-style house has a wide front porch, which is pretty but stark. Nothing like my family's front porch back home. We had hanging flower baskets and pastel-colored rocking chairs and tons of colorful flowers out front. I used to spend hours sitting out there in the evenings. As I step onto Fletch's porch, I look up at the white ceiling. Ours was lavender, my mother's favorite color. I think Rai needs a little color in his life, don't you, Daddy? I lift the welcome mat, which is boring brown and does not say welcome, and find a key with a paper tag hanging from it. On one side of the tag, he's written Fletch's House, as if I have a stockpile of keys to men's houses. I flip the tag over and read more of his squarish handwriting. No snooping. I'll try not to, I say as I unlock the door and push it open. Molly is right there to greet me, tail wagging, excitedly sniffing me and my bag of goodies as I close the door. Hi, Moll. I missed you too. I know you want a treat and you probably need to pee. Just give me one sec. I dig out one of the treats I baked for her and she snags it, bounding into the great room to my left and jumps onto the couch. I take a moment to get my bearings and see how the extraordinary kisser lives. I had pictured his home to be all walled-off rooms and muted colors, but I couldn't have been more wrong. An open layout of off-white walls make his home feel airy and bright. The great room is separated from the foyer by only a change in flooring from tile to hardwood, and it feeds into a dining area with a bay window on the side and French doors leading out to a patio. The kitchen is to the right of the dining area, separated from the great room by a bar with high-top stools. The furnishings, however, are very much like my well-put-together friend. With the exception of a few of Molly's toys on the floor, everything is neat and tidy, including the built-in bookshelves flanking a fireplace on the far wall. A mahogany coffee table matches the wood on the blue and beige upholstered chairs, which complement the beige and brown area rug. Molly's lying on a blue throw blanket covered with her fur on the couch as she finishes her treat. I make my way along the foyer and peer down a hall on my right, where I see a bathroom, a closed door, and what looks like a bedroom and an office, but I don't snoop any further in that direction. Instead, I head over to the bookshelves, skipping the neatly organized books to peruse the family photos, of which there are many. There are several of a couple who can only be Fletch's parents. The man shares the same sharp features, light blue eyes, and dirty blonde hair as Fletch. And although I haven't seen that many of Fletch's smiles, the similarity to the brunette's is unmistakable. Her eyes also give away her love for her sons in every picture. A pang of longing for my own parents washes through me. I pick up a picture of Fletch as a lanky boy of 12 or 13, standing on a boat, his red swim trunks hanging low on his slim hips, his mass of longish hair blowing in the wind. He's holding a fish that's longer than his body. Chuck is standing behind him in black swim trunks with his arms up in the air, mouth wide open like he's photobombing, and Jimmy is lying on a towel beside Chuck, shading his eyes from the sun, looking at the camera. I scan the other photos of Fletch and his brothers at varying ages, playing basketball and sitting by a lake. One picture catches my attention. Fletch looks around 20 years old or so. He and his brothers are standing on a boat, and Chuck and Jimmy are each holding fish. Their heads are tilted back, and Fletch, with those magnificent abs on display, is pouring beer into their mouths. His scruff is unkempt. His skin is bronze, and he's wearing a baseball cap and a huge grin. He looks so different, so in the moment. It's hard to imagine the guarded man I know as a carefree kid, much less this partying 20-something. I wonder if that's who he is only when he's with his brothers, or if that is who he used to be and something changed him. Feeling like I'm now full-on snooping, I set the picture down and arrange the goodies I brought in the center of the dining room table where Molly can't reach them. As if she smells them, she leaps off the couch and barks. Perfect timing. Let's get out of here before I accidentally snoop again.
Chapter 8. Fletch. I walk out of a meeting with university administration and campus security about what happened last weekend and pull out my phone to take it off silent mode. I have voicemail messages from my mother and Chuck, a text from Beth, and several texts from Destiny. As I head out to my car, I scroll through Destiny's texts. The first few are pictures of Molly walking on the leash at the park. I come to one of both of them. Destiny's brows are lifted, and she's smirking, pointing to the leash, which is wrapped around her hand twice. Smartass. I feel myself grinning as I flip through more pictures of them. There's one of Destiny lying in the grass with Molly's big head resting on her arm, one of Molly licking Destiny's cheek, and another of the two of them in the gazebo. Destiny's arm is around my furry monster. That damn dimple taunts me in every picture. The last picture is a close-up of Molly sitting in front of Destiny. Destiny's sunglasses are perched on top of her head, holding her hair away from her face, giving me a better view of her happy eyes and beautiful smile. Her chin is resting on Molly's head, and one arm is wrapped around Molly. Molly's eyes are closed, her expression sheer bliss. I can't take my eyes off that picture, or my mind off the fact that I'm mildly jealous of my dog right now. Did my beast notice how Destiny's hair smells like strawberries, like I did when she hugged me at the cafe? My jaw clenches as I remember those hugs and how they got to me. I'm no saint. I don't go without human contact, but even casually dating, I keep my guard up. Destiny makes it impossible to do that. She's not only open with her feelings and opinions, but she invades my personal space, and she's extra touchy-feely, and damn it, I didn't want to like the way she felt in my arms. I force myself to close the picture and read the first message she sent, which is all about how amazing, her word, not mine, Chuck is, and how she wants to figure out a way to thank him. Great. Now I'm jealous of my dog and my brother. I really enjoyed helping her yesterday. I laughed with her more than I have in a long time. She's impulsive and scattered, but she's got the best of intentions. She's driven by her heart to fulfill her dreams. Can't knock that. That checklist of hers is a joke, but Destiny has her own brand of charm, and it's pretty fucking adorable. My mind drifts back to the moment I've been trying to ignore but haven't been able to stop thinking about. The one when our eyes locked and desire crackled in the air between us. I had all but forgotten what that hum of connection, that bone-deep desire to be closer to someone, felt like. I nearly went in for another kiss. I keep wondering if I imagined the longing I saw in her eyes, but hell if I hadn't felt it so strongly it haunted me all night. I dreamed about stripping off those pink overall shorts to see if the rest of her tasted as good as her mouth did, and woke up with my stone-hard dick in my hand. Images from the dream traipse in, and my dick twitches. In an effort to shut that down before it can take hold, I close Destiny's message and open Beth's. Beth is a surefire boner killer. I love her like a sister, but like a sibling, she can be a pain in my ass. Beth, is my future husband on drugs, or do you really have a date for the wedding? Fletch, don't make a big deal out of the date, please. Beth, I won't. I'll just be over here sending notifications to everyone we know. Do you think this will work? Fletch finally found someone who will put up with his frigid ass. Beth, laughing, crying emoji, times three. I don't bother responding and listen to my mother's voicemail message as I climb into my car. Hi, honey, it's Mom. Jimmy told me you're bringing a date to the wedding. I can't wait to hear all about Destiny. Call me when you get a chance. I love you.
Fucking Jimmy in his big mouth. I listen to Chuck's message next. Hey, Rye, I just met with Destiny. Give me a call.
I start the car and wait for my phone to sync to Bluetooth before I drive out of the lot, then call Chuck.
About time you called me back, Chuck says.
Sorry, I had to teach a class and then I went directly into a meeting about that student stalker.
How'd it go? Good, I guess. They expelled her and banned her from campus, and they've got extra security watching out for me, but man, Chuck, she's a 20-year-old kid. I know I did the right thing because she took it so far, but it feels shitty.
That's because you're not the cold-hearted bastard you pretend to be. You definitely did the right thing. She crossed a line with that latest stunt. Are you pressing charges? No. I'm hoping the restraining order is enough. The administration seemed to think she'd go back home to Pennsylvania. I'm just glad it's over. How'd it go with Destiny?
Ah, yes, your wedding date.
Chuck, I warn.
Sorry, man. It's just so easy to rile you up.
He laughs.
Destiny and I had a great meeting. I took good care of her. She'll be covered legally, don't worry.
Thanks, man, I say as I turn into my neighborhood. I appreciate your help.
Anytime. You know that. She's really something, right? She's smart and determined, although it took a few minutes for me to realize she wasn't just flighty as fuck. She's all over the place, but damn, she's a dynamo.
I feel myself smiling.
Yeah, she's something, all right. But she's not really your type. I don't normally mix business with pleasure, but if you want to back off and let me give her more than legal advice, I'd be cool with that.
Jealousy sears through me. What the hell, Chuck?
Listen, we both know what you're up to, he says in the serious big brother tone he's used my whole life.